Thank you for listening to the Prairie Oaks Pulpit Podcast, recorded on the Sunday morning sermons of Prairie Oaks Baptist Church here in Prairie Grove, Arkansas. Wherever you listen to these, we appreciate that you find these Bible teachings profitable for your spiritual growth. We invite you to join us on Sunday mornings. We meet when weather permits in our open-air pavilion, or we meet in the sanctuary just nearby. It is a laid-back worship experience that you won't soon forget. You can also find links to our messages on our YouTube channel, or you can follow us on Facebook at Prairie Oaks to find out more about our current events. And if you'd like to contribute to this teaching ministry, you can follow the links in the notes. But let's get to the message. So you can start looking in Exodus 15. I was kind of asking the Lord how to manage these next sections here. I was going to do them all at once, and then he's like, no, take your time. And it's like, okay. So we're going to spend about 4 weeks just getting from the Red Sea to Mount Sinai. I'm just warning you, it's going to take us that long at least, if not longer. Because there's so much in this that the more I study, the more it's like, wow, this is really cool, God. And isn't that a good feeling to have when you're going through and you're reading your Bible and it's like, wow, that's neat, God. I'd never thought about that before. Or, ooh, that's really convicting, God. You're right. I'm that way. And so I pray that as we go through this, it doesn't sound repetitive, except when God is trying to repeat something to us that we need to really drill into. But then also we continue to see the new treasures that God is bringing here. Because the children of Israel, that's what they're experiencing in this. They had just had the Red Sea miracle. To date, as far as up to that point in the Bible story, this is probably the biggest miracle God had done in the redemption of His people. Now, creation's a big deal. The flood's a big deal. But in the redemption of His people, this was a really big deal. Where a significant body of water, the Red Sea, is parted and they walk across the bottom on dry ground. When they get across, then Lord closes it on the enemy and destroys all those foolish enough to defy God and yet presume upon God. And that was a lesson for last week, but that's a lesson we always need reminded of. But we also, as we heard and we personally sang the song of Moses, praising God, the horse and his rider he has thrown into the waves, we heard how they worshiped. And they had that mountaintop experience. You know what I'm talking about? Where we've been close to God. We've seen Him work and we're feeling it. Well, today's story is 3 days later. Okay? 3 days later. So just put yourself in that context. We've been on the mountaintop. That was 3 days ago. And this is where we are. So Exodus 15, and we're looking at verses 22 through 27. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them and said, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight, give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you." Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. So they camped there by the waters. Let's pray. Father, just thankful again for your word. Lord, it is a mirror in which we can see ourselves more accurately, Lord. But it is also a telescope to give us a better view of you. Not that you are distant, but that you are so immense, we lose the big picture oftentimes, Lord. And so you give us these snapshots to know you and the multifaceted jewel that you give us in our salvation. And so I just pray, Lord, that you guide our hearts to know you, guide my words and my thoughts to accurately teach, that your Spirit would stir in this place to do that work in our hearts that we need done, O Lord. We love you. We hope it shows. Forgive us of the ways we fail you. And in the name of Jesus Christ, the true King and the hero of the story, we pray. Amen. All right. So, I don't know how many of you have ever traveled up in the Northern Plains. But have you ever been to Mount Rushmore or anything like that? A few of you maybe have. Now, as you're driving to Mount Rushmore, there's these big billboards. You see them everywhere. It starts with the word Wall and it ends with what? Drugstore. Wall Drugstore. It's the Wall, South Dakota. Now, Wall got its name because, not a person's name, but because of a geologic feature that is there. Because as you drive east across South Dakota, across the Great Plains, you suddenly hit a wall. It is a wall of rock that goes all along that river through there. And you have to get up over that wall to continue going farther west and to continue going up. It's just this, it felt like an impenetrable wall. So like if you're driving out there, you know where that is because the interstate found one of the gaps to get around that wall. Now, if you've ever been in that land and gotten off the interstate, then you know that there's a park for one of the worst places in the U.S. It's called the Badlands. It's very pretty, but you don't want to get lost there. Because as you get out there, it is just a maze of rocks and things. If you should look it up later. But there's one other thing that's really bad about the Badlands. And that is that there is no good water in the Badlands. Occasionally you'll find a little stream, even the little river that goes through there. It's undrinkable. It's the color of this concrete, maybe a little browner, and it's about as good for you. It's bad. So it's unsafe. It would taste awful if you were silly enough to put it in your mouth. It's bad water. And so I tell you that story, you may be wondering, why are you getting this geography lesson? It's because that's what the children of Israel think when they heard about the wilderness of Shur. Shur is the word wall. And so as they passed from the Red Sea, you can't stay at sea level for long. You're going to a mountain. And they came to a wall. And that was the land of Shur, the land of the Badlands. And so for the next few weeks, it isn't all the wilderness of Shur, but it is all the Badlands between the Red Sea and Mount Sinai. And so the children of Israel are passing through the Badlands. So as we're marching to Zion, sometimes our march goes through hostile lands. It may feel like a desert, a wilderness experience, but God guides us through the wilderness if we will trust Him to get us to Zion. Do you see how that song goes really well with our lesson today? And so the next few lessons from Exodus are going to be those pictures from the Badlands. We're traveling with God to His abode. And so let's look at this here. We see that they made it about 3 days into the wilderness of Shur, and they found no water. There was no water for 3 days. Now, I don't know what... We got a few medical people here. Maybe someone can fill me in on the details. But you can only go for how long without water? It's just a few days, isn't it? 3 to 7 days. Thank you. I was looking at you because I knew you knew the answer. 3 to 7 days. So that puts you right there. They made it 3 days. And they probably had a little bit when they left, but now they've run out. They ran out. And when they find water, it's not drinkable. It's Mara. Now, that may not mean anything to you either, but if you've read the book of Ruth recently, do you remember when Naomi was coming back and it had been a hard time for her? She'd lost her husband. She'd lost her sons. She'd lost everything, and she was walking back to Bethlehem in hopes of something better. And when they came out to her, what they said, oh, it's Naomi. And she said what? No, my name is Mara. Because she had bitterness of soul. And that's why they called this water. And that's probably why she called herself Mara. When she's thinking back to this episode, it was bitterness that she felt. She was withered and dry. And she just felt fully defeated. And I won't preach all of Naomi's story here. But you remember, it wasn't as bad as she felt. Because she had two things going for her. One of them is real subtle in the book of Ruth, and that is she had God working. She didn't know it, but he was. And he'd already worked in one way because the second thing was with her. She had Ruth. And by the end of the story, we're told that she's better than sons to her. She thought she'd lost all, but she gained the most important thing. And that's kind of what's going on here. So they get there, they are thirsty, and it says they complained. Now, if you're familiar with Exodus and the book of Numbers, sometimes when they complained, it was just they were kind of scared, and they were like, what are we going to do? And then other times when it says they murmured, they grumbled, it's a little more harsh. You know, like they were going to pick up rocks and start killing people because they were so angry with God and his servants. Now, this is the one where they're scared. This is that word, complained. What are we going to drink? Look, the water's not even any good. We haven't had water. We don't know when's the next time we're going to see water. What are we going to do? And so there's two responses to those kind of circumstances. And that's one of them, isn't it? It's to complain. Is to doubt God's deliverance and provision. Now, you remember how I started this, right? 3 days ago, they had seen God part the waters of the Red Sea and they walked across on dry ground. Does God have a problem with water? No. But when we get scared, we forget those things, don't we? We get scared, we get fearful, and we forget what God is able to do. And so our worship turns to fear and we begin to doubt God. But I want you to notice Moses' response. Moses goes straight to God, doesn't he? So he cried out to the Lord. Because Moses had been in the wilderness before, right? 40 years in the wilderness, he learned a few things. And some of you, you've been out there and you have walked with God for decades. And you've learned along the way how God provides. Sometimes it's in the low, subtle way. Sometimes it's in a spectacular, amazing way. But God just keeps providing. And that's where Moses was in his life. And so Moses cries out to God. But here's my first lesson I want you to kind of think about. Put this in your pocket for later. Which kind of person are you? Not just in the complaining. Because here's the real thing. All of them had the same opportunity as Moses did to cry out to God and ask God to provide. But they were expecting someone else to do it for them. Are we the ones that expect someone else to talk to God on our behalf? Or are we going to talk to God on our behalf and on the behalf of others? Intercessory prayer is one of the distinct privileges of the Christian life. You and I are not high priests. We are priests before God. We have access to the throne of grace that we may find mercy and help in our time of need. Amen, brother? Amen. Amen.
And so Moses is our lesson here. When those times come and fear begins to rise, let us be the ones who go to pray instead of complaining to our neighbor. Let us pray. And so Moses prays, looking for God to answer this need. Now, in this case, God provides in an unlikely way, doesn't he? He says, see that tree? Throw it in the water. Ooh, well, there is no natural explanation for this working, by the way. Just in case you ever out in the woods and you need water and you're not sure if it's safe or not, don't just throw a chunk of wood in the water. Carry a filter. Or just drink it and see what happens. Been there, it's not fun. But anyways, but he throws the water, or throws the tree into the water, and God heals it and makes those bitter waters sweet. Now, for them, I don't know that this made much sense to them, but it makes a lot of sense to us because we're on another side of the cross. We have a different perspective because we look back and we see where the tree of Calvary does heal our bitterness. It healed our ultimate bitterness even. So I want you to think about this. There on the tree of Calvary, Christ suffered just as each of us will suffer. We know that our faithful high priest knows what we feel. He has suffered whatever it is that you suffer in your life. He has suffered in similar or greater ways. Now, I put a little asterisk next to that. He has not suffered the consequences of sin in the way we have, but he suffered the consequences of sin, and I'll get that in just a second, because it wasn't his sins. But I want you to also think about this. Our bitterness gains a new perspective because at the tree of Calvary, Christ suffered from each of us. Because it wasn't his sins that put him on the cross. It was mine. It wasn't his rejection. It was my rejection that put him on the cross. And sometimes when my bitterness rises, it's because I'm so self-centered that I've forgotten that I've hurt others as well. Because I think, woe is me, it's all on me. When, no, it's also me who has hurt others. And maybe I need to back up and say, who have I hurt that I need to seek reconciliation with? But especially because I've hurt my Savior, my sins, put him on that tree of Calvary. But praise God, the tree of Calvary is also where Christ suffered for each of us. He suffered as each of us. He suffered from each of us. But Christ suffered for each of us, where the hand of God was against him so that the hand of God would not have to be against me. That by his stripes we are healed. And so maybe make a note later on. You want to dig into Isaiah 53 and see how that works, how he, at the tree of Calvary, he suffered for us. So that what comes into our life is not punishment against sin. Now, God, as a good father, is going to discipline us. He's going to make us toughen up sometimes. We may not enjoy that part, but it is not condemnation for our sins. That. And so Christ suffered for each of us. So my bitterness takes on a different view as I look at the tree of Calvary in all those ways and apply it to my bitterness. I don't have any room for that. He has healed that bitterness. And so the Lord healed those waters there with the tree. And he made it a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them. Oh, tests? I thought when I graduated, I didn't have to do that anymore. None of us have graduated from Wilderness University yet. Not until we step into glory, right? One day we'll step into glory, and then we'll have our certificate from the University of the Wilderness. And we will have oases and times of going through the wilderness, but sometimes it's just the Badlands. But we got to keep following God because he's testing us to see what comes out of us. See what we're made of, right? We're made of dust. That's what we're made of. Made of dirt. Pretty pitiful stuff. It is. But we also have His Holy Spirit. And so we are also made of Him. And so are we going to walk in the flesh? That's pitiful stuff. Or are we going to walk in the Spirit? That's some good stuff. And so that's why He puts us in those things, to test us. But it's also to see just what will we choose. Will we choose Mara, the bitterness, or will we choose the healing? Because I can choose. Now, my choosing isn't going to make that water change. It's choosing to trust Him, and He's the one who can change it. Because that's what they'd forgotten, was that God had led them there, and God was going to lead them beyond that point. They needed to just keep trusting God. And as you saw when we read through the scriptures there, He had something better for them. But they got stuck there with their disappointments and didn't trust God to provide. Their fear, they listened to it. Because God gives them a lesson here. If you will diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God, if you will pray, if you will listen in His word, if you will heed the voice of the Lord, if you will do what is right in His sight, not just to pray, not just to read, but to act upon His word, live it, to give ear to His commandments and to keep all His statutes, to act upon. And one of the acts is to do what we're doing right now, coming together with the believers. You heard it. We were singing praises earlier. Before that, we were answering questions and sharpening one another. Because we need to hear that from one another. We need that. I was just thinking as we were singing, man, my week would be wrecked if I didn't have Sunday morning to fill me up. I mean, I make a point to spend time with God every day. But it's not the same as Sunday morning when I come together with the believers. And God says, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians. And I don't think He's just talking about the diseases of like the boils and whatnot diseases they had in Egypt. I think He's talking about the diseases of the heart. That hard-heartedness. Pharaoh's hard-heartedness is what got that whole mess started. Made people slaves, refused to let go of them, thought of only himself, didn't matter who was suffering. His hard-heartedness made the mess. God says, if you will walk with me, you won't have that hard-heartedness. He says to walk with Him. For I am the Lord who heals you. And this is where they kind of have an advantage on us, but it's been translated to help us out. This is Jehovah Rapha. That's His name. Because as we walk with Him through the Badlands, He's revealing His character. He is the God who heals. Jehovah Rapha. He is the God who can heal that hard-heartedness, to soften us, to be receptive to Him again. He's the God who heals. The one who can take care of that bitterness and unforgiveness that we may feel, or that fear and that, and those walls that we put up between us and others. It is God is the only one who can heal that. Jehovah Rapha. And when they did that, then verse 27 is what results. Then they came to Elim, just another oasis. But what an oasis. 12 wells of water. They went from one that was bitter to 12. One for every tribe. And there were 70 palm trees there. And we've been going through Revelation on Wednesday nights, and there's lots of numbers in there, and I think they're kind of significant. And this is one of those where 12, the 12 tribes, the 12 apostles, we see that quite a bit. 70. Does anyone know the significance of 70? 70 months. 70 months?
Septuagint.
Hmm? Septuagint. The Septuagint. That's where I was headed, Miss Dina. Okay. There's the Septuagint is 70. And what made it's the Old Testament translated into Greek. Why is that important? Because in Genesis, when God set out the nations from the ark, there were 70 of them. God was preparing to send the gospel to the nations. And first step, there before Jesus even came, he said, we need to get the scriptures in a language they'll read. And so he had those 70 guys in Alexandria translate the Old Testament into Greek for the nations. And you see then Jesus, after he'd sent out the 12 to preach to the house of Israel, in Luke, later on, he sends out how many? 70. Go to every city, every village. He was preparing them for the Great Commission. And we see in Revelation that it's every kingdom, every tribe, every tongue, every people. And so this is just one of those little seeds here at Elim. He had 12 wells to replenish his people so that they could take it to the 70 and produce fruit. That's kind of cool. That's just extra. That wasn't part of the main lesson, but I just thought it was cool. But it reminds us, God has provided us healing, Jehovah Rapha, in order that we would take the healing to others. Because there's a whole world of people out there that need the healer. Amen? They're hurt. They're hurting. They're hurting others. And they need the healer. They don't even know. They may not even know that it's them that's hurting. Much less why they're hurting others. We need to be his instruments of grace and healing to others.
Thank you for listening to the Prairie Oaks Pulpit Podcast. We pray for you that you are blessed by these messages, and we're praying that you join us again next time as we continue our series in God's Word.